Your Bibles and turn to Galatians 5 for our last message in the series. Maybe you're glad it's done. Maybe you want it to go on. Don't tell me either way. Galatians chapter number 5, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And I pray that the desire, I hope it would be that we come to church because we want to be controlled by the Spirit. I pray that we want to be filled, to be used by the Spirit of God. I hope that's our desire. I hope we don't come to church to make an appearance. I hope that's not the case, but may we desire for God to work on our hearts and lives. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16, Galatians 5 verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." Sorry, give me a second. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Maybe we should do a series on the works of the flesh as well. I don't know about that one. All right. It says, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Tonight we'll look at this last word of the fruit of the Spirit, this word of temperance tonight. Let's pray as we get to the lesson. Tonight we ask you, Lord, for your help. We submit to you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would control this service, control my words, my spirit, Lord, and speak to our hearts and challenge us, Lord, in our lives. May we go home different and changed and more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, again, I hope it's been a help and a challenge to you. The fruit of the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, it has its blessings and its benefits. One of the blessings of walking with God and being controlled by God is that God directs your life. The direction of God, that God directs the steps you take, the decisions that you make, the places that you go, that God literally controls where you go and what you do. Again, God will not force you to do anything, but may we humbly submit to God and say, "God, I want you to direct my life. I don't want you like that child when you go to grab their hand because you're going across the parking lot and they want to yank you all over the place." We were going to Costco the other day and that parking lot scares me, all right? And I've got one girl in this hand, one on the other hand. I'm like, I'm holding on because no one's watching. They're not paying attention. I was like, "Girls, be careful. This is dangerous. Stay with me." And they may try to yank and they could slip their little hand out and run off. That'd be dangerous. May we in our life remember that holding on to the hand of God to direct our life is so important that I don't go the wrong direction to fulfill the fruit of or the works of the flesh. But may I be say, "God, please lead me. Please take my hand and guide me, because I know that you're always going to lead me in the right direction." Being led by the Spirit also, we have access to the power of God. Now, every Christian, every child of God has the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But when you walk with God, when you're led by the Spirit, then you have the power of the Spirit in your life. I hope in your life that you understand what it means to have the power of God in your life. If you've never had the power of God in your life, you don't know what I'm talking about. You may hear about others that had God's power in their life, but it's something to where you desire, "God, would you use my life in such a powerful way that when I witness, you have your power. As I go through my day, as I walk and I do your will, I want to have the power of God, not just going through the motions of the Christian life, right? Just doing the do's, don't the don'ts, and just going through your day as a husband, as a wife, as a student, as a parent, whatever it may be, but that God has power in your life. Power when you pray. Power when you witness. Power as you have a testimony for the Lord. That's the benefits of being led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. But then also, another benefit is the blessings that come from God. Amen? I'm thankful for the blessings of God, that when you walk with God, God blesses your life. Do you desire for God to bless your life? It doesn't happen by accident. But when you are led by God and the power of God, you see the blessings of God flow in your life. Now, God's blessings come in different shapes and forms, but you know when you've been blessed by God. When you stop and say, God, thank you, because the only reason this happened was because you blessed it. Not because I did anything or anyone else did anything. It's because God blessed my life. When God blesses you, give Him the honor and the glory for that. Just stop and say, God, thank you for blessing my life. You know, God wants to bless your life. More than you want to be blessed, God wants to bless your life. Well, that has to do with walking with God and God controlling your life. I'm going to briefly go through the fruit of the Spirit with it being our last lesson, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice the order that God gives us. God is a God of order, not by chance. But God, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first fruit is love, that cheerfulness, that calm delight. I'm sorry, going back to this, that was the next point. That love, that agape love, that goodwill, the benevolence, that love that is giving, that love that is sacrificing, that love that is doing what is holy and right for God and for others. To love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's true in Christ-like love. God produces that love in your life. The fruit of joy, that cheerfulness, that calm delight, that gladness in your heart, that no matter what you're going through, you can have joy in the Lord. Whether the days are dark or the days are bright, you can still have joy in the Lord. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. People look at you and say, how could you have joy going through what you're going through right now? You see someone go through a trial, well, that joy comes from God. It doesn't come from without, that joy comes from within. The fruit of peace, peace that everyone is looking for, but they can't seem to find it. The peace that only comes from God, that quietness, that rest, that comfort in God, that no matter what I'm going through, I can have peace, that God's in control. The peace that even in the midst of the storm, that God has it under control, peace in the Lord. The fruit of long-suffering. Long-suffering, it literally means to suffer long, to be long-tempered, to have patience in your life, to have patience. The fruit of gentleness. Gentleness is that kindness, that humility, referring to a sweet and a Christ-like spirit to others. Gentleness, not a harshness, not an anger, but a gentleness, the spirit that Christ would have. And then the fruit of goodness. Goodness is that virtue and holiness in action. Living a life that's right and holy before the Lord. Doing what's right and good. We have a lack of goodness in our country and in this world. Of just doing what's right. I think sometimes as a Christian, not perfect, but I hope you strive to always do the right thing. Does it ever dumbfound you that people that are always seeking to do the wrong thing? Right? And you think, don't you just want to do what's right? And you almost can't fathom, why would someone do X, Y, and Z, the works of the flesh? Well, because they're either not saved, or number two, not walking with God. And then the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith. The conviction of truth or belief in God, and that belief on the Word of God that puts it into action. That faith in God that is followed up by obedience to the Lord. That faith with your salvation, your walk with God. And then the fruit of meekness. It's a humility, a submissiveness. Submissiveness, strength under control. Meekness. And then tonight, the fruit of temperance. You're not going to get a quiz on all of that, so don't worry. The fruit of temperance. It's the last on the list here, but important. What is temperance? I've given you a lot of definitions. I'll give you a definition and then kind of put it in some layman's terms or examples, if you will. But temperance is this, self-control. Self-control. You ever met those people that are out of control? Right? It could be any age, right? It could be any age or people that are just out of control, under control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. One who masters his desires and passions, not letting the desires and passions control your life, but bringing them under control. It's the ability to say no to what is wrong. The strength to say no when you're faced with temptation and you say, no, it's not right, even though my flesh wants to do what's wrong. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but does your flesh ever want to go the wrong direction? Right? Thank you for raising your hand anyway. We all could have been there, right? Again, when the sign says don't touch and your flesh goes, I want to touch it. Right? I'm not the only one, okay? The self-control. When the cookies come out of the oven and they're nice and hot and you got to wait for them to cool down, you're like, all the patience that I have. Control. That to not listen to your sinful impulses from your flesh. Here's an example I'll give you, the first one that came to my mind with this. But self-control. You ever seen that and heard the yappy little dog? You go out soul winning, and the worst thing out soul winning are the yappy dogs. You're like, I cannot have a conversation with the yappy dogs. We've got a little yappy dog. She's crazy for like 2 minutes, and then she's done, all right? So what do? When someone comes to the door, we lock her in the kennel. I'm not fighting the yappy dog when I'm trying to talk to someone, all right? And so under control. You can't control it, so I'm going to help you to control it, all right? The yappy little dog that you open the door and then yap, 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 and the door opens, and what does the dog do? They bolt down the street and they're off and running, not realizing safety is in the house. Danger is outside. We were outside yesterday. I was on a phone call, and the dog went running outside. Again, little yappy dog. We have a neighbor that has some big dogs. So what does little yappy dog do to the big dogs? Goes to the fence and goes, rawr, rawr, rawr. I was like, be quiet. They would eat you alive if you went over there. But all the strength on this side of the fence, on that side of the fence would be a whole different story. Self-control. See, that little animal doesn't realize that in the home, that's where you get fed, right? In the home, that's where you're protected from the danger that could be out there, where you run along the streets with the cars or the animals that might want to take you for lunch. Think about this in regards to our flesh. Our sinful flesh has no limits and no boundaries. Your flesh and mine. You and I are capable of any sinful desire or habit at any moment. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so when you get out of control in your life, in any area, and you start letting your sinful habits take control, and you just say yes to anything that comes your way. Yes, I'm going to do it. If I feel like it, I'm going to do it. What a dangerous place to be in our lives when we listen to our sinful flesh. Why? Because the flesh is deceitful. The Bible says above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when your flesh tells you to do something, the self-control is listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, God, is this what you want me to do? And you set up some personal boundaries and limits in your life. Our sinful flesh has no limits and no boundaries, and our flesh can get out of control at any moment. Self-control is keeping yourself within the boundaries. Let's talk about the boundaries for a minute. Again, that self-control, realizing here is safety, here is danger. So what keeps you in that place of safety? Think about this for a minute. Boundaries are designed by God. Boundaries are designed by God. God tells you, this is dangerous. This will end your life. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what, church? Death. Don't play around with sin. You realize if I cross the line, danger is going to happen, destruction. God set up boundaries. That's why God set up the law. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They broke the law. They crossed the boundary line, and all of a sudden now they had consequences. Before that, blessings, and now consequences. See, God sets up laws. The Ten Commandments, what are the Ten Commandments filled with? thou shalt not. God is telling you where to not go. What do parents spend most of their parenting years saying? What's the word you end up saying? No, don't, stop. And you repeat it as many times as you can imagine. That's parenting in a nutshell, all right? And it's setting up laws and boundaries. God sets up the Ten Commandments, don't. You know, they start out with honoring the Lord and remember the Sabbath day and thou shalt not and all of those. He sets up laws, commandments, earthly laws that keep you safe. It'd be great if people understand the earthly laws that keep you safe. I'm not running from the police tonight because I've not done anything wrong. Amen. All right. Boundaries, next, are for your own safety. Boundaries are designed by God, but they're set up for your own safety. Our sinful nature thinks, well, if I could just cross the boundary line. Self-control realizes God put the boundaries there, told me where the danger is. Now I choose. Right or wrong. I choose to cross that line, but it's for your own safety, but also boundaries are for the safety of others. See, when I cross that line, I'm putting someone else in harm's way as well. Boundaries. In a moment, people lose control. What they say, what they do. You've heard of road rage? You ever seemingly done nothing and someone wanted to just about end your life? I remember driving on the freeway one time, and I honestly, I don't even think I changed a lane. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, a car came my way and cut me off and almost ran me off the road. I had no idea they were coming. I had no idea what I did. And all of a sudden, the road rage hit for them. So what does it do to you and your flesh? Oh, God bless you. Right? Probably shouldn't, but sometimes I wave at them with a smile. I don't think it makes them any happier. When I do that, but I don't know if that's a Christ-like spirit or not. Maybe a little antagonistic is probably the idea. But people that are just ready to snap in a moment because they have no self-control, temperance. People that someone says something and they just snap, either physically, verbally, out of control. Any of us can be out of control in a moment and engage in any wicked behavior, any sinful behavior, of a substance abuse, verbally or physically attacking someone, sexual desires, financial gain, all the things that could lead you down the wrong direction if you could just simply learn this word in your life, the self-control word of no. I think many people in your lives, if we could tell ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit, no, I want to do it, but I should not do it. And you tell yourself no, keeping yourself under control. Let's look at a few biblical examples, and I'll have you turn to a couple places here in a moment. Some biblical examples of temperance. Temperance is mentioned three different times in the Bible. Three different times, temperance. A few times the word temperate is used. Paul preached to Felix and Agrippa in Acts 24, and he preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. He was preaching the devil out of them, basically, right? He was preaching to them. And so he preached about temperance. We see the fruit of the Spirit talks about temperance here. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, and it talks about adding to your life, adding to faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. That list there in 2 Peter is very, very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. Adding to your life, addition. Adding some areas of growth that you and I need to grow in our Christian life. Remember this, though. The fruit of the Spirit, it's not like I'm going to work at being more temperate. I'm going to work at being more under control. No, no. You walk with God. You are controlled by God, and God will produce the temperance in your life. You say, well, I have a bad time with my temper. Walk with God. Read your Bible. Pray. Confess your sin, get it right with God, and God will help you in the area of self-control. Some other areas that speak of temperance in the Bible, it's a requirement of a pastor or a bishop. In Titus 1:8, it says, be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That the requirement of a pastor be to be temperate. It's a challenge to the aged men. In Titus 2:2, it says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. I want to ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at this. Paul uses this analogy here about running a race, and he preaches about temperance in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. He speaks about requirements of running a race and about how this athlete must have temperance. We're in the middle of the Olympics, and there's a lot of people that dedicate their life to a 60-second routine, right? To go down the hill one time. You crash, you're out, and you're done. And they've given their life and dedicated their lives. They've given up on a social life. They've given up on other careers, maybe. They've given up on everything because they're dedicating to the sport. In this passage here, it talks about running a race that the Apostle Paul gives us here. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, it says this, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, not earthly prizes, but the heavenly prize. And it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is," what? "Temperate in all things, under control." Look at this as it continues. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Amen? It says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Look at this here. "But I keep under my body and bring it into," what? "Subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul said this, "I better not preach the Bible and not do it myself." Paul's fear was that he would be a castaway and he would walk away from God and he would not be a man under control. Paul would say it this way in another passage. He'd say this, "I die daily." He'd say this about himself. He said, "I, Paul, don't want to be in control. I want God to be in control. I don't want to take over my life. I want God to be in control of my life." And he said, "I bring my body under subjection, under control." Jesus portrayed temperance in a few different areas. First was after 40 days, Jesus in the wilderness fasting. And what did the devil do? That wicked devil came to Jesus, to God himself, and he tempted him to turn that stone into a piece of bread. Now Jesus, being 100% man and 100% God, do you think he was hungry? Do you think after 40 days you're dreaming about a rock being a piece of bread? And you have a mirage almost. You have a vision. Look at how great this looks. Brother Mike, I think you're agreeing with me on this one. Brother Mike gave us a testimony about this a while ago, and we won't bring you back there again. But Jesus had temperate self-control, and Jesus said this to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan tempted him, but Jesus, under control, lived on the word of God and would not listen to the devil. He showed temperance in a few areas, but we'll skip to another point here that I want to get to as we get some practical points for tonight. Temperance, being controlled by God. We should not be servants of sin. Amen? We should not be a servant of sin. When you're saved, you're a child of God. How are we that are saved servants to sin, living for sin? Doesn't mean we're not going to sin, but I should not be a servant of sin. I should not be under the control of sin in my life. What are some areas we should have some control in, some temperance? And first is this, control over your spirit. Temperance and control over your spirit. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 25. This verse is such a visual verse to me in this area of controlling your spirit and temperance. You probably already know where I'm going, but we're going to look at the verse anyway. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28, having control over your spirit. The Bible says, Proverbs 25, verse 28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit," notice the wordings there, not another spirit, not blaming someone for your spirit out of control, but "he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. See, the walls were the safety for that city. So to keep the enemy out and to keep the others in. But when we have no control over our spirit, then anyone can come and run through your life and have control over your spirit. You know that kid that I'm talking about that others just love to mess with him because they give him the biggest reaction. Being a youth pastor for years, we had certain kids, they gave the biggest and best reactions. So what did all the boys do? Boys are mean, all right? Boys are mean in different ways, but boys are cruel, all right? And they would go and give it to these boys, and they would give the biggest reaction, and then come to me and said, stop giving them the reaction that they're looking for, and they'll stop, I'm telling you. I'd go and tell the other ones, knock it off. Leave them alone. And I'm like, I'm probably not going to stop either side, but I'm trying, all right? Control over your own spirit, because I can't control what everyone else does. You say, well, if my spouse would just, he that hath no rule over his, what? His own spirit. Draw a circle around yourself. I can only control the person inside of this circle here and ask God to help me to control my spirit. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Very similar passage talking about controlling your spirit. Number two, having temperance or control over your tongue. The book of James, chapter 3, I believe, talks much about the power of the tongue, the destruction of the tongue, or the power of the tongue for good. Control over your mouth, controlling your spirit first, and then controlling your mouth. That's a hard one to control. Talks about controlling a ship or controlling or guiding a horse. We'll continue, though, control over your thoughts. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll look at a couple passages here. Control over your spirit, control over your tongue. Temperance or control over your thoughts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, look at this, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, your thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't let your thoughts get out of control. You ever lay in bed and your thoughts get out of control? Starts going the wrong direction? You see something and your thoughts get out of control and they go a sinful direction. You let your mind wander and your mind will always wander the wrong direction. You must bring those thoughts into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Self-control in your thoughts. The book of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what does it say? So is he. You let your thoughts get out of control. That's where you are going. It's just a matter of time. Self-control in your thoughts. Last one is this, self-control, control temperance over your desires. Your desires. Where does your desires come from? Your heart. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's a choice. To delight yourself in God every day, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He'll give you godly and right desires. You say, why do I desire things that are wrong? What are you listening to? Why do I desire things that are wrong? What are you watching? Who are you spending your time with? Well, no wonder you're desiring the wrong things. Get the wrong things out, put the right things in, and say, God, would you help me to control my desires? Why? Because that fleshly desires, they will take over, won't they? They'll take over. And all of a sudden, out of control. Giving yourself the freedom to think, say, and do anything that you want is an extremely dangerous and sinful place to be. Let me say that again. Giving yourself the freedom to think, say, and do anything that you desire is an extremely dangerous place to be in your life. You say, well, I just felt like it. Well, that's what the world pushes, don't they? If you feel like it, then you must be the other gender. If you feel like it, I want to tell people that say that, well, if you feel it, it's okay. Well, what if I felt like killing somebody? I'm not going to do it, by the way, all right? If you're watching online, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Thank you for that. So if I feel like it, it's okay, right? Well, no, you can't do that. So there's right and wrong, all right? Don't give yourself the freedom. Well, I just felt like saying it. Well, it was probably ungodly, right? Let's be honest. I just felt like doing it, all right? Because naturally, our feelings don't point us in the right direction. Self-control. Can you tell yourself no? Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Say no to the friends. Say no to your flesh. Can you say no, I'm not going that direction in my life? Temperance and self-control. Well, how do you do that? You listen to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, would you be pleased with this? I'm turning that off. Would you be pleased with that? What do you think about this decision, Lord? And say, I'm not going to go there even if I want to go there. Self-control. Can you tell yourself no? Can you listen to the Holy Spirit? And then lastly is this. Can you listen when someone corrects you? Can you listen when someone corrects you? Well, when someone corrects you, what do you say? Who do you think you are? You've got some problems in your life as well, and we want to blast the other one. But when someone corrects you, maybe God sent them your way to help to kind of put you in line. It hurts. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When a friend says, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Can I help you? See, what does my flesh say? Worry about yourself. Get out of here. Worry, you know. But what about, you know what? Maybe I needed that in my life. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask for God to help your life. The fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says, after that list, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to turn there. I'll read this for you. And it says, against such, there is no law. When you're walking with God, when you're controlled by God, when you are living for God, against such, there's no law. When you are loving right, when you have peace and joy and temperance, all the things, there's no need for the law there. Because that's a place of holiness and righteousness, the right direction. The other side, there's a whole lot of laws needed for those, aren't there? A whole lot, and growing every day. Desire to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Walking with God.